Fear to a degree is always going to be there when we're moving into the unknown. Mm-hmm. Is it to a degree that it's debilitating us or not? Looking at our fears like that, use that energy. It's an energy. We can use it to stop us and debilitate us, or we can use it to propel ourselves forward. It's like the level of degree. Is it taking us over so that we just can't even move forward, or is it just like a little bit of, oh yeah, there's that anxious tension there? That's totally normal. That's always going to be there, especially between the space between here and there. Mm. Right? Once you get there, often it's like, wow, that was no big deal. And this is actually really great. Yeah. I like it here.
And it was worth it.
Often the things that scare us the most are the things that our heart truly wants. We also haven't been trained to do what we want to do, what our hearts want, what we're passionate about.
And welcome to Curious Ones podcast by Andara. I'm Yael Ginsberg, the host of the podcast, a yoga and meditation teacher and philosophy lover. Each week, you will hear eye-opening interviews with the different teachers of the Andara Yoga Institute, located in beautiful Baja, Mexico, along with other teachers that pass through here. This life-changing knowledge shared through authentic, heartfelt communication will help you live a happier, more fulfilled, and connected life. Let's dive in.
Hello, welcome back to Curious Ones podcast by Andara. I'm Yael Ginsberg, and today I have the incredible Allison Eaton with me. Allison is a Reiki master teacher, an intuitive healer, a yoga teacher trainer, and an inspired devotional singer. She is one of the lead teachers here at Yandara and just an incredible person. So welcome to the podcast, Allison.
Thank you, Yaya. I'm happy to be here with you.
I'm much happier. So when I was thinking about topics for the conversation and what we could speak about, I really have this theme of intuition in my life and what the role of intuition is in our lives in the past few weeks. And when I was thinking about who would be the right teacher to speak about, of course, it was obvious for me that it needs to be you. So let's dive into this whole topic of intuition. I know it's a very big one and it might even be hard to put into words. But I know you're the right person for the job.
happy to speak of this subject. It's one that I'm very, very passionate about and continually learning about myself.
Yeah. So let's start by defining from our understanding or from your understanding, what is intuition?
So intuition is information that we receive either spontaneously or immediately without conscious reasoning to sort of back it up. It's a sense, it's a knowingness. Sometimes it's a voice, some form of guidance that comes to us versus us logically trying to figure something out.
And from your perception, because I guess this is just like nothing that we can prove or anything, where does this knowing come from?
I feel like this knowingness comes from a higher self that is built into every human being on the planet. It also comes from our body. You know, our body actually has physiological responses to the environment that share information with us, whether something is right for us or not. So we can get more into that as we go along. But our body is speaking to us, as well as the sense of our higher self, a higher voice, perhaps, our hearts.
And what do you think is the role of intuition in our creation of our lives?
I think there are many roles. I think one role is sort of a survival-based mechanism to keep us safe in the world and in the environment, And then from maybe a more higher perspective, a role of keeping us on our path, on our divine purpose, our life purpose, these gentle nudges toward, for example, coming to a yoga teacher training or, you know, something that's going to awaken us and give us the ability to help others awaken as well. So that's more of like a higher role of our intuition.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. I find that as well. It is really like the way that we guide our lives, because sometimes, as you said, the intuition might be something that logically doesn't make sense to us, but we kind of have this knowing in our body that that is the right thing for us to do. And then we might even receive some resistance around making a certain type of decision that is unexpected or maybe seems even strange to those around us. And in the end, I find that from my own experience, those have been the decisions that have unlocked new worlds, really, in my life.
Yes. Same. I've had that same experience. Even just my first introduction to Yandara Yoga Institute, I came here on intuition. And I know many of our students came from a feeling of the place. Maybe the website popped up online and they're just like, they don't know why, but I have to be there. There's some sort of internal guidance mechanism connected to their hearts and their higher selves that they don't know why, but this is where they're going. They follow that intuition. They follow their hearts and they have an incredible life-changing experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's a beautiful like source that we can tap into. Let's talk a little bit about how do we notice the voice of our intuition, or how can we recognize the voice of our intuition? Because as I find, there are many voices speaking in our minds or in our bodies.
This is true. Spending time in silence, getting quieter, slowly moving, setting the intention to connect in with the intuition is important as well. So yeah, we have to get quiet enough to listen. So for example, you just move through a yoga practice on your yoga mat, spend a little time at the end there sitting in meditation and ask those important questions and see how you are guided by maybe a voice, maybe a feeling, some sort of knowingness. Yeah, we do have to get quiet enough to listen. And that's kind of what's missing in the modern world, is there's so much happening so quickly and so much information coming to us. There's a lot of external noises. So if we can intentionally sit inside quietude, even for a few moments, connecting with your breath and body, you'll be much more able to listen to those higher voices coming through.
I think that's such an important point, because it really is such a low voice, like even a whisper, that it's impossible to hear it when there is so much noise around you. And I also like that you mentioned that, like, after a physical practice, like maybe yoga asana class, or when you're in nature, when there is quiet around you, that is really when we're able to hear that voice clearly.
You're right. It's a softer voice. It's a subtle voice, right? One that's easily missed. One that's speaking to us all the time, but easily missed and often missed.
Yeah. What are the other voices that we have in our mind?
Yeah. So I feel like this is a good segue into what's called our clair senses. These are the senses that we receive intuitive information from. And one, yes, is an inner voice. This is an inner voice. We really, some people will hear it like physically through their ears, but mostly we hear a voice in our mind. And again, it's a soft and gentle, compassionate voice of guidance. And that's called your clairaudience. And these clair senses are something that we are all born with, right? Just like we have five physical senses, we also have a number of internal senses, right? Mm-hmm. Clair senses, it's a French word meaning clear sensing. So clairaudience is one of those, and that's the inner voice that we're talking about, one that actually speaks to us. And it says, you know, follow your path in this direction. It's always going to be a compassionate voice. But then we have other sort of voices or clairsenses that come to us. And sometimes it's a feeling, right? That's our clairsentience. We'll have a feeling in our body. Maybe it's a physical feeling or a physical reaction to a decision you're trying to make. Mm-hmm. If that decision, when you think about it, makes you tense up, right? That's a physical voice, you can say. Mm. Meaning maybe that one's not the best one for us right now. If there's like an openness and a relaxation in the body, then that is a signal that maybe this is something we want to explore. So that's another intuitive sense. We also have clairvoyance, which is inner seeing. Maybe you're able to visualize yourself going this way, and then it's coupled with a really beautiful feeling or an open feeling. Or maybe you visualize yourself doing something, making an alternate decision, going this way, and it just doesn't look right to you. It doesn't feel right. Inner vision. We also just have like a knowingness, and coming back to just that sense of knowingness that we don't know why we know. We just know something to be true for us. I just know I have to go there. I don't know why, but I just know. That's claircognizance. Mm-hmm. There are others too. You know, some people smell energies, or a sense of smell gives them decisions. Wow. Some people taste energy, and through different tastes, they're reminded of certain situations that help them to make decisions intuitively. So we have, all of us, built in our operating system, these intuitive psychic senses, these different ways in which we receive intuitive information from our higher selves.
Mm-hmm. So all of us have these five senses?
That's right.
Or is it that like some people feel it more or some people hear it more?
This is true too. Yes. Mm. Yeah. We're born with all of the clair senses. Mm. How they are developed is unique for each of us. So usually what happens is we have one or two more dominant clair senses. So maybe someone is very clairsentient. They empathically feel the environment around them, and maybe they also have a strong sense of claircognizance, like a knowingness. And that's the two main ways they receive. Where other people are very visual or very audible and hear information. So yeah, we do tend to have some that are dominant and some that are there but haven't been developed as much. And we can all train all of them as well to be more aware of them and use them.
Oh, okay. So let's talk about that. Like, how mm-hmm. do we, because I feel that in our culture and our societies, it is definitely not taught. How do we listen to our intuition or developing even the intuition, or even that we have
yes.
this tool of intuition. I do consider it as kind of a tool that yes. we have. So let's speak about that, because I feel like so many of us are disconnected from our intuition and how it even feels, and how do we cultivate it? How do we strengthen our connection to intuition?
Yeah. So, if we were born in a more tribal culture, for example, or even a family where you had parents or people around you that were using their intuition, then we're more likely going to have connected and trusted the intuition more. But most people living in a modern day society, again, coming back to that fast pace, loud external noises, we miss the intuition all the time. So we're also not taught to use our intuition. Even from grade school up, we're taught to listen to a teacher. We're taught to listen to an authority yeah. figure. For some people, it's a religious leader, right? Versus our own inner signals, right? And so, you know, a supportive guide or a supportive teacher would be guiding you toward listening to your own signals, your own body, your own intuition. Mm-hmm. So how to do that? One, there has to be a willingness to learn. There has to be just some sort of intention, like, okay, I really want to get clear with my intuition. I really want to learn more about this. And there has to be a willingness to be open to learning about it and understanding it first and foremost. Another way to get in touch with your intuition is to look at what's in the way. Like, what is our conditioning that has caused us to not understand intuition or not believe in intuition? Or what are some of our blockages toward our intuition? So, for example, children are very intuitive innately when they come in, right?
Yeah.
Before they're conditioned to not be.
Yeah.
And so sometimes children will see things that scare them, right? They may see certain apparitions, for example, or they might see things in their mind's eye that scares them. And so they shut off their intuitive sense of clairvoyance.
Fear holds us back.
Fear holds us back. Wow. Yes. Mm. And trauma holds us back. Sometimes a child says, hey, I've got a friend here next to me at the dinner table. And someone of authority says, there's no one there. What are you talking about? You know, don't be silly. So these voices are those louder voices that sometimes take over our intuitive voice. So we're trained that, okay, that's not safe. I'm not going to be accepted in the family, in society, if I speak of these things or even relate to these things.
Yeah.
So there's all sorts of little traumas and bigger traumas that happen around intuition. So looking for yourself, like the way you grew up and what might have conditioned you in a way to not listen or to not understand your intuition is another avenue.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What else?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. And then, you know, there's all sorts of exercises that we can do to strengthen our clairsenses. So let's pick one. Let's say you want to work more with clairvoyance, inner seeing, getting in touch with the third eye chakra, for example. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe just taking a finger to your third eye and just saying to yourself, I am willing to see. I am willing to see, right? You seem to have an openness or a willingness. Maybe you lie down in a meditation, you place a crystal on your third eye. Amethyst crystal is wonderful for that, or a clear quartz crystal. And then just relax and see what comes to you. Often too much with intuition, we're chasing after something. We're trying to make something happen or trying to get to it. But it's actually about relaxing and receiving. Mm. So we have to learn how to be receptive, right, as well. So here's another little segue. Are you able to receive, right? So many of us in this modern world are trained to produce and to give and to be creative and to make things happen. So we have to retrain our ability to relax, surrender, and receive what's coming to us. And then sometimes that's learning to receive love, right? Because so many people have, you know, sort of little micro traumas or big traumas to receiving love and feeling safe with that. So the more we can tap into that sense of receiving, and I guess you could call that the divine feminine energy, the more we'll be open to our intuition for sure.
I was just thinking about that in our society, we're so caught up in like this masculine energy of producing and making things happen, as you mentioned, that we grow apart from our feminine natural ability of intuition and receiving and just being in a place that is slower and softer and gentler.
Exactly.
And obviously these energies exist in both men and women, even when we speak of the masculine and the feminine energies. I love that you mentioned that it's really about not having to force an answer or force the knowing to show up. It's really more about a softening, which is a word that I really connect to in this context.
Yes.
How do we start to do that? Because I think that really even women, or maybe even especially women, that there has been this whole rise of like feminine power and feminism even, and taking on more leadership roles in our society. It is very easy. Maybe even it is what we need to do in order to fulfill those roles, is to be more in our masculine energy.
Yes.
So how would you guide women and men alike to soften into the feminine energy of receiving?
Yes. So I really liked how you took that pause and allowed what was coming through to come through and speak from there. And that is a beautiful tool and a beautiful teaching, is to just take a pause, come into the heart, maybe put the hand on the heart, breathe, and then allow what's meant to come through to come through. That is softening, that is receiving, that is divine feminine. And so we can teach as in a feminine way, when we're doing workshops or we're speaking. And that's one way to do it, is in this more receptive manner, coming from the heart. But ultimately, it's about balance. I think we all need to learn when to come with more effortful energy, more yang, masculine energy, and then times where we need to come with more receptive, relaxed, surrendering, divine feminine energy in life, or if we are in a leadership role. That balance is important. And, you know, right now the world and the energy flow is definitely moving toward more and more divine feminine, because on a pendulum swing, it's been very masculine, yang energy for so long that we kind of energetically have to swing the other way for a while. And that's why we have seen so much more feminine empowerment over the years. And I feel like it's going to continue to do that for a while until we just kind of swing back into this balanced space where we're all coming from a balance of our masculine and feminine energies and everything that we do. But until then, there has to be a bit more of this influx of divine feminine energy on the planet to make that return to balance, if that makes sense.
Definitely. I think that it's very interesting that you actually mentioned that the time that we're in now, that we're really, there's a lot of talk about like the rise of feminine energy and feminine power. In a way, it's really the swing of the pendulum to the opposite side. What I find and see many times is that actually women that arrive in these roles of leadership and power try to emulate men in the way that men lead. And instead of bringing their feminine power and empowerment, they try to act in a way that they perceive a man would act in that situation.
Right.
Could you speak a little bit about what is feminine power?
That's a good question. So, first responding to women showing up in a masculine way, I feel like this is something that is, we're taught. We're taught that power is in the masculine energy, and we want to come across as like we are in our power when we're sharing our gifts. And so there's kind of this correlation between the way we've been conditioned. And ultimately, if we're in a place of service, that will naturally come into our divine feminine more and more as we keep doing the thing, keep doing the workshops, particularly if it's in the healing realm or the yoga realm or meditation realm. We can't help but to be guided intuitively toward the feminine energy at some point. Mm. So there will be a softening process that occurs in time for everybody, in my experience. So how to lead in a feminine role? Be observant, right? Be observant of the energies that you're serving, the people that you're serving, and intend and be willing to receive the information and the data of what they're looking for, of what they need. So for example, I'm speaking in the context of being a yoga teacher or a Reiki teacher. I'm going to walk into the room and I'm immediately going to be in a more receptive state of listening. Right. Versus I'm going to come in there and I have this outline of things I'm going to share and I'm just going to bust through this. I'll do that at certain times too, for sure. But there also has to be this balance of coming in and just listening to the fields, listening to the environment. And it's amazing when we do that. Like, you'll be answering people's questions before they even, you know, say and ask you, right? There is an intuitive relationship between the speaker, the leader, the teacher, and the group, the audience or the students, whatever they are. There's a connection that's happening on an intuitive level that we can tap into. So I feel like just going in with an intention of listening and moving from there, maybe even speaking slower and responding slower, allow for more silence when you are speaking, more space between your words so that you can start to hear those subtle voices that we spoke of in the beginning of this session. Yeah. And just intending to be of service toward what they need now. Right. Versus the agenda of what I'm coming in with. And yeah.
Yeah. I think that's beautiful because it's not taking away from the role of the teacher or what you have all agreed to be in the room to transfer from each other.
That's right.
But it is coming from a place of listening in order to be able to transfer the information that is needed and not what is kind of what you think mentally
exactly
should go across. Beautiful.
Exactly. That's where the magic is. Yeah.
Definitely. And that's the intuition, right?
That's the intuition.
Yeah. It's the voice that is beyond what you know mentally or cognitively. It's what comes up without needing to force it.
That's right. Mm. And what happens is we tend to receive the answers for the individual, unique intuitive information for that person asking that question or that for that group.
Beautiful. So I thought a really good combination of topics with intuition would be decision making. Because what is a better way to make a decision than from a place of intuition? Let's speak a little bit about this process, because there's a lot of different kinds of decisions that we need to make on a daily basis. So it can be small decisions like who we want to spend our time with or what we want to even eat for lunch or, you know, what we want to work on that day. Or it can be bigger life decisions like moving countries or going to yoga teacher training. Changing careers or things like that. So let's talk about from the early stages of decision making. Like, there comes a point where we feel that we need to make a change.
Yes.
But we do not yet know what the change needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
What should we be doing in that moment?
Right. So we know something's not working for us in this current situation. We know there needs to be a change, but we don't know what that is yet. That's the signal to wait and listen, right? So maybe you do spend more time walking in nature maybe do spend more time in meditation and patiently waiting for some sort of signal, some sort of clue. It will come. It might come as a blatant, like, yes, go to yoga teacher training. It might come through like examples that other people are doing. Like you meet someone randomly in a cafe and they're doing something that inspires you. Like the universe puts these signals into place for you, right? Yeah. Like just start watching the signs around you. Get more curious about that. Because if we don't have the decision, like if we don't have the clarity within, that means it still needs to come to us, right? Mm-hmm. And so often we're just like, you know, beating our heads trying to figure it out, right? Okay, I'm going to make all these lists, da 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 da, and try to formulate it intellectually, right? Force it intellectually. That won't really be helpful for us. We have to put ourselves in that receptive place. So take some time. Take a pause. If you can, take a pause between this and that, this current life situation, that. And, you know, you give yourself a grace period, a transitional period, travel a little bit, spend more time in nature again, some time to really just get in tune with yourself. And that's when it's going to come to us in some form.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it can come in different forms. So really you're saying be open to it looking
different than we would think.
Yes, definitely.
Yes.
I find that it really like can be even an Instagram post that 100%. I see.
The universe is working through Instagram.
You know what happens to me? Like sometimes when I need to receive guidance, something wakes me up in the middle of the night. I can't fall asleep. And when I can't fall asleep, usually like I put a podcast or like something like that. Yeah. And I find that always, every single time, I get exactly the guidance that I needed for something that's happening in my life.
Yes.
And unfortunately, it has to happen in the middle of the night.
This is a time where we tend to be very receptive because the brain waves are much slower at that time. So it's actually a physiological, more receptive time for us to receive information. So often we wake up in the middle of the night to receive it, or it's like right when you wake up in the morning. That's a really good time to just listen.
Yeah.
I do that every morning. I give myself a few minutes at least, and sometimes more, to just listen to what's coming through. And those first moments when you wake up, that's when your higher self is speaking to you very clearly. It's our brain waves are still slow enough that we're in that receptive state to hear. And then as soon as we get up and then everything picks up, starts moving faster in our brains, then it's harder to hear. So those are good timings actually to listen.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Okay. So once we maybe even receive the guidance of what we need to do or where we need to go, how do you incorporate your intuition in the way that you take the steps from there?
Right. So often those steps will also come to us intuitively, one step at a time. So it's really about, once you receive the information about what would be a positive change for us, we have to continue to listen. We have to be brave. We have to follow the guidance, right? And then sometimes there's a healing process around that, right? So sometimes we're able to just get on the plane and do the thing, right? Boom. And then sometimes there's a lag time in between because there's something in us that we need to look at, to heal, to clear, to be able to make that step. So I see that a lot with my clients, is they see what they want, but they just can't get there. Yeah. Well, there's something that needs tending to first, and that's all it is. Some part of us, aspect of us, needs a little healing, a little love, a little compassion before we actually have the energy to make it happen.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Let's go into that.
Sure.
Where do we start?
Yeah. Okay. So for example, someone really sat with themselves and they got clarity that they want to move to a new location, right? And they might even see the location in their minds. They might even know, but they still just can't do it, right? Well, there's fear. Yes. Maybe there's judgments. There's a part of us, exactly. Maybe it's a part of us that wasn't taught to trust ourselves. Mm. Maybe there's a part of us that fears being judged to create a whole new lifestyle that's different than what our family, our friends, our society is doing, right? So we have to look at those aspects of ourselves. Perhaps going in, well, where did I learn that from? You know, there's inner child healing work we can do, but really it's like becoming aware of the energetic emotional response, right? The fear, for example, like you just said, well, the fear shows up in our body in a certain way. So really just sitting with the fear and the physiological sensations of that and breathing with it, allowing it to be here, right? Mm-hmm. Not being afraid of it, feeling it in our bodies, breathing with it and sending our love to it. Mm-hmm. That's the key. We have to send our love and our compassion to that which is in the way of us moving forward.
Wow.
That it seems so like simple, and it should be simple, but it's always the missing ingredient. Okay. Mm. Fear. I love you. I see you. I understand you. I love you. I have compassion for you. And then it melts. Wow. Right. And then we have the clarity and the open space energetically to receive the bravery, the courage comes in, whatever is needed comes through with that self-love.
Wow, that's so interesting because really, as you said, the without taking away the fear, there could be no clarity. It clouds our minds, our judgments, our vision, our knowing, and doesn't matter how much we sit in silence if the fear is always there and this little voice telling us, you can't do it.
That's right.
Then no clarity will come.
That's right. And especially if we're trying to push away that fear or that voice is saying, you know, you can't do it. We have to investigate the fear. We have to investigate the voices of fear just as much as the voices of our intuition in order to get through it. Mm-hmm. So much of the time we're pushing away our fears. We haven't been taught to trust our intuition, but we also haven't been taught to be with our fear and to sit with it and see what is really the nature of this, or to love our fear. Now that's pretty radical, right? So there's that piece as well.
Beautiful. So would you say, like you mentioned doing it in a type of meditation, how about maybe journaling with it? How do you feel about
perfect.
That? Yeah,
absolutely.
How would you guide someone to do that?
Yeah. So I, with journaling and especially around this topic, first, just write it all out. Just what's coming in from your brain. I'm afraid of this. I don't think I'm good at this. I suck at this. Da, 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 da. Just get whatever your shadow self is saying out on paper. Mm. Let it have a voice. And then like, as you let your, we'll call it the shadow self, have a voice, naturally the higher self is going to start speaking as well, because you gave the shadow self some time to be, gave it space. And then naturally, as you're writing, this is just my process, all of a sudden my higher self starts speaking too. It might just say, you are love, you are loved, you're okay, and maybe more details. But a lot of the times it's a feeling and an energetic response from the higher self that lifts your vibration. And once the vibration lifts, then more clarity comes through. Okay, well, then actually this is what I want in my life. And then you start writing from that vibration. Mm-hmm. So journaling, super helpful. Give your fears space to write out, and then also give space for your intuition or your higher self to write out on the paper as well. Writing moves energy. Mm-hmm. So it's a very helpful tool to kind of get it out of us, what's going on through, what's processing in the mind.
Yeah, because I find that when energy starts to move, I find that when energy starts to move in our bodies, if we don't let it out in some form,
yes,
then it really starts to stagnate and like, kind of like I'm imagining like kind of a baby pushing on the walls of the womb or like a little chicken, like pecking on the shell.
Yes.
It's there. It's not going to go anywhere.
Right. Mm. So we either speak it out, we speak it out loud, or we write it. It's very similar.
Mm, beautiful. Mm-hmm. So what if we do this process and the fear is still there?
Yeah, it's like the level of fear. Like, I feel like fear to a degree is always going to be there when we're moving into the unknown. Mm. Is it to a degree that it's debilitating us or not, right? Mm-hmm. So it's known that even well-trained actors and actresses before they go on stage, people have been doing it for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. There's still a bit of anxiousness before they go on stage, but they've learned to kind of use that energy and to propel them forward. And looking at our fears like that, use that energy. It's an energy. We can use it to stop us and debilitate us, or we can use it to propel ourselves forward. Use it as motivation. Use it as courage. So yeah, it's like the level of degree. Is it taking us over so that we just can't even move forward? Or is it just like a little bit of, oh yeah, there's that anxious tension there. That's totally normal. That's always going to be there, especially between the space between here and there.
Mm.
Right. Once you get there, often it's like, wow, that was no big deal. And this is actually really great. Yeah. I like it here.
And it was worth it.
And it was worth it. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. I find that actually the most incredible things in our life come once we are willing to do the thing that scares us most.
100%. 100%. Often the things that scare us the most are the things that our heart truly wants. We also haven't been trained to do what we want to do, what our hearts want, what we're passionate about, right?
Yeah. So what is that fear that shows up in that moment? Like, how can we tell the difference between the right thing for us to do that has this kind of fear because it is unknown, because it is new to us, rather than the fear that protects us from something that isn't right for us?
That is such a good question. I feel like that is an unfolding process for all of us.
Hey, I'm quickly interrupting the episode to extend an invitation. If you are interested in deepening into any of the subjects we talk about on the podcast, we offer many different experiences on our beautiful grounds here in Baja, Mexico. From 9-day modules such as sound healing and yoga nidra, to breath and meditation, as well as 200- or 300-hour yoga teacher trainings, and many different shorter retreats. Check out our website, yandara.com, to see all the information about the different experiences. Let's get back to the episode.
This is where we have to tap into the heart's guidance, because we can get too much in our heads about, is this fear something that is imaginary or something that's real? So the way to receive the accurate information, the true wisdom around this, is to come into the heart space. And the Heart Math Institute has all kinds of tools and meditations that help us make decisions based on the heart's wisdom. Mm. You know, one of them is really simple, just kind of coming into awareness of the heart space as you breathe. And just kind of imagining that the heart itself is breathing. And then you're asking your heart's wisdom for the guidance on a situation. And then you're going to receive more volumes of information and clarity. And from that information coming from the heart, you're going to be able to decipher for yourself, is this fear I've been having, something of my imagination or just a fear of the future versus something that, wow, that would be dangerous if I move toward that or not. Mm. So we all have these internal mechanisms that lead us away from danger. For example, like an amoeba will move away from poison automatically, intuitively. There's an instinct or a reaction, a gut reaction almost, that we have that leads us away from danger. But then sometimes it's our minds are getting in the way and just telling us that something is dangerous, even though, because it's just the unknown. So there we really have to sit and get into the intuitive wisdom of the heart to share the information with us. Mm. Highly recommend the HeartMath Institute for some exercises around that to help us decipher.
Beautiful. I think that's a great tool. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, for sure.
And it also kind of like, that's what I was thinking about, because how can we really decipher the difference? Okay, so again, there's so many voices that are like, it's the fear, it's the society around us, it's my own personal will, it's the different conditionings that we've had. There are so many different forces that pull us in different directions. And I would say that even our will is affected by these different forces, because you might have been taught from a young age that a certain life path is considered a good life path, and
that's right,
a different one is considered a bad path to take. Or maybe you've even seen like people around you or around your parents or your family growing up that have taken a different path, and maybe they even weren't successful, or they were outcast, or they were judged in a way.
That's right.
I want to ask, like, how do we come back to our own unique, original, true will? Would that be like the voice of the heart?
I think for sure the heart is the gateway to our intuition. So that's always a great starting point, is to relax into the heart, breathing into this space. Those voices that we have are a combination. Like as you were speaking, I'm thinking of sort of along the lines of ancestral voices, ancestral traumas, you might say, the unhealed patterns and thinking from our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, that those voices are coming through us too. So, but how to work with that is to come back into the present moment. So if we can work with the emotion in this moment, the fear for us in this moment, it doesn't matter where it came from. That's how we work with it. That's how we heal it. So coming into the heart helps to center us enough so that we can get in touch with the emotional nature of the moment for us. And let's say it's that fear or that anxiety again. Breathing with that, talking with it, telling yourself that you're okay. You know, I love you. I see you. You're okay. And then it starts to melt. Then you're healing that fear for yourself and for everyone that you're connected to, like where that fear came from, because you're energetically connected and also connected through your blood. They're also receiving a healing as well. So as we work with our own, coming back to the present moment, reminding ourselves that we are safe and we're okay, we are loved, everyone in our environments and our families are healed on a certain level as well.
Oh, I love that. I love that, because really I find that this self-talk that we cultivate, because our self-talk is always there. There's always kind of a voice that is speaking to ourselves. What voice is speaking to who is maybe something that we could speak about, but there's always a voice. And if it's unchecked, if it's allowed to be the automatic voice that comes up, it might take us to a direction that is conditioned by the beliefs that we took with us growing up, or maybe that we came into this world, or you mentioned the ancestors. And once we start to bring in a voice of an adult,
that's right,
from the place that we are today, it really has a huge effect.
Yes.
What has been your experience with that?
Yeah, because it's these aspects of ourselves that are smaller, younger, unhealed, unprocessed emotional qualities of ourselves that come through when we're making these big decisions, right? And so it is very much like an adult part of ourselves speaking to a childlike part of ourselves, or a less aware part of ourselves. So I've been, you know, one of my favorite techniques that I work with and that I've been sharing with people is to actually have a conversation with that aspect of yourself. So it's like we have the shadow self, that's the unhealed part of ourselves that's afraid of making this big life decision that we know is going to be really good for us, for example. And then we have our higher self that just knows that everything's going to be okay. So giving them both room and space to speak is important. Start with the shadow self. Okay. Shadow self, just let me hear what you've got to say. I'm afraid if I make this decision, it'll be the worst decision of my life. I'm going to fall flat on my face. Everyone's going to think I'm the weirdest person on the planet. Dot, 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 dot. Just let it speak, you know?
That's what it says.
You know? And then higher self comes in and says, ah, okay, I hear you. Thank you for sharing that with me. Listening, right? And then sharing its higher self in the form of higher love. I love you. I see you. I understand you. You're safe. Really, those shadow selves just need to be heard that we're okay, that we're safe, and that we're loved. And there are more techniques that you can bring into that. For example, sometimes I like to bring in the Ho'oponopono mantra, which is, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. It's four affirmations, often put together in different patterns, but those are the four. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And you can use this language within this conversation of shadow self to higher self. You're really giving that energy to yourself. So you're saying it to yourself. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And then there's this alchemical shift in your energy field. Like the fear softens, your vibration lifts into a place of higher understanding and higher love. And because you worked with that kind of past self, you brought it into the present moment and you gave it space to breathe. That's where we're healing. That's where we're making those shifts. We brought it into the present moment to look at it and to once again show it our love and compassion.
I love that.
It's like that technique over and over again.
Yeah.
You know,
I find that it really is like coming back to the practices over and over again, because the fear is always going to like pop its little head up.
That's right. That's right. And when we work with that emotional fabric in the present moment and bring our higher self on it, it does have a long lasting effect where, you've healed a layer of it. So next time there's just another layer, right? And maybe not so much of a bigger layer the next time, because it is healing in that way where it's substantial work that we're doing when we do that.
Oh, I understand. So it's like every time that it comes up and you're healing it, you're taking off. So there's many layers.
Yes, 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 yes. And you know, as we get used to the process, it gets easier, because usually the shadow self comes up and we're reacting to it. We're like, oh my God, what is that? You know, or we're identified with it. Like, oh, that's my reality. That's my truth, is this fear-based part of myself. But the more we integrate this process that we were speaking of, higher self and shadow self speaking with each other, bringing the light of awareness to it, the more we begin to identify, oh, that's a shadow self coming up, and you're already bringing your higher self on board with it. It doesn't take you over as much. You don't identify with the fear as much. So in that sense, it does get easier as you go along, where the only difference is you're recognizing that this is a shadow aspect of myself quicker than you did before. And you're able to work with it quicker. You have the tools and the understanding and the experience of working with it. So it's less of a stressful experience.
That's very good to know.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So before we started to kind of speak about this process of when we know what we need to do, but we don't know what the steps we need to take in order to get there are, we started speaking about like this conversation that you have with fear and bringing the love in. And we spoke about this self-talk that we can bring in there and peeling off these layers of conditioning and fear. What would we do after that?
I would say in addition to that, start asking your higher self to show you the way. Ask the universe, ask a higher power, ask your guides, show me the clarity, show me the steps. And then the universe will put the steps into place for you. Some kind of opportunity will come to you, will literally ring your doorbell. Yeah. The way I've experienced this is something will land in your lap for you.
Definitely.
You know, you've had that experience as well. And 100%. So just asking for higher guidance lifts our vibrational frequency to a place where we can actually match the steps vibrationally. And then they can come to us. We can manifest them much easier because once we make that ask, we lift our vibration into a place that's able to receive similar frequency.
Wow, that's so true. I can maybe share an experience that I had with creating this podcast. So when I had the idea to create this podcast, I had no experience doing any of it. So making a podcast is not just having a conversation. I would say this is even the easy part because I love talking about this stuff. But it's the, you know, the audio and the video and the editing.
Oh, yeah.
And the marketing. And like, there's so much that goes into it beyond the conversation itself. And the incredible part is that spending time here at Yandara, it felt like the right people just showed up here. And I was naturally like drawn to have conversations with them. Yeah. Like, I was dating a guy that does music. So he was helping me with like all the equipment. And then a girl that took a podcast course was here and she told me like what I need to get.
That's right.
And a videographer showed me how to do the editing. And a girl that does marketing was here. Like every single aspect that I needed to learn just showed up and like in this generous exchange of knowledge was just presented to me in such a beautiful way that I couldn't have done it this way even if I really, really tried.
Right. It's magic.
It's magic.
You put yourself in that flow state where you are just receiving. One thing I think as you're speaking is like you got clear, this is what I want to do. When we get really clear on what our hearts want to do, then the universe can co-participate with that clarity and that intention and give to us everything and show us the steps that are needed to make that happen.
Definitely.
So getting clear is probably one of the hardest parts. Like, what do we want? What does our heart want?
Yes.
Coming back into that energetic field at the center of our chest to answer that question.
Do you have certain questions that you ask yourself in order to understand that?
Yeah, the what lights me up? What does my heart want? What brings me joy? What am I passionate about?
Yes, definitely. I agree with you so much because it really is in a way like, how do I follow my joy?
Yes.
And I find that that's also a form of guidance from the universe, right?
100%. Wow. Wow. When we're in a joy state, we are in one of the highest frequency states. And that's where intuition comes through quite easily, naturally, joyfully. If we can operate from joy, as one of my mentors would say, then we can certainly connect with the intuition and put ourselves in that vibrational state to receive the energy of joy and the energy of what we're wanting to have in our lives, or the place we want to go that's going to bring us joy. We can match it.
Yeah, definitely. I think that like a few things that are important to mention here are that, first of all, it's always worth it to try.
Mm-hmm.
Because
right,
like the worst that can happen.
That's a great question to ask, actually. What's the worst that can happen?
Yeah. And then when you like, okay, when I was thinking about like the podcast, for example, I was really scared to ask Christopher if like he would want me to do a podcast. I was like, am I worthy enough to sit in front of these teachers and ask them these questions? Like,
totally.
I don't know how to do it yet. Like there was an internal struggle. And then at some point I said like, okay, so what's the worst that can happen? He'll say no.
Right. What is the worst that can happen? Exactly.
So that's one
great
thing, that I think is very important. Also, like being in this place of playfulness.
Yes.
That you are open to receive what life has to bring to you. Because when I left on this trip that ultimately brought me to Yandara, I was sure that I needed to go on this trip, but I had no idea how it's going to look like. And being willing to trust that the right steps will show up in the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, it was one of the scariest things that I did. It felt like I'm jumping off a cliff and like hoping that the universe will catch me in a way.
Yes.
But being willing to breathe with it.
Right.
And let the steps unveil as we go along is one of the biggest lessons that I keep returning to.
Yeah, being able to breathe through the uncomfortableness of uncertainty. I really love that aspect you shared. Breathing with that is important as well.
Yes, definitely. So in this process that we spoke about, you let go of the fear, you use the self-talk, you ask for higher guidance. Is there something else that you think is important to mention there?
When we're making decisions or
in general? Following the path.
When we're following the flow.
Yeah.
I know it sounds so cliche, but follow the heart. Mm. The heart will never steer us in the wrong direction. The heart is our guidance. It's our navigation tool. Too many times we're following the guidance of our brains and our intellect, which is a combination of all those different voices and all those different conditions. So tuning into your heart's desires, asking, and when you get that clarity, having the bravery to follow your heart. I feel like it's sort of getting easier as the years progress and the consciousness on the planet is evolving and more people are tapping into the intuition, more people are following their hearts and saying, you know what, I'm just going to trust myself. There's so much conflicting information out there. I'm almost forced to follow my own guidance. All the division that's happened in the world over the past few years, it's like, which way do we go? There's no, like, even the authoritative energies are crumbling to a point where like this lack of trust in authority is big these days, that we have no choice but to listen to ourselves and take the risk.
Definitely. That is what I wanted to say that flew from my mind. Yeah. Or left my mind. The bravery aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that once you know what you need to do, actually taking the step is maybe even the hardest part of the whole journey.
Yeah.
Because there's so many things that can be at risk.
That's right.
In taking that step. There's this teacher, Brené Brown. Mm-hmm. She's a pretty well-known, incredible teacher. I just finished reading her book, Daring Greatly. And really, I found that the message throughout the whole book is, what are your values? How do you want to be and show up in the world? Do you want your actions to be affected by other people's opinions of you? Or do you want to show up as a brave person?
Right.
And when you think about that, it doesn't even matter if you fail or if you succeed. It's about, was I true to my values?
That's right.
Or was I not?
That's right. And we're inspiring others to do the same by coming into our authentic selves and being brave enough to do that. It's a brave task, right? It's risky to show up authentically in a world that is judging and telling us that you have to do this or that in order to be a normal functioning human. And, you know, so to be in your authentic self and to live by your authenticity is it's a brave act.
Yes.
And it's an act of service, honestly. Mm. That's one thing that I come back to quite a bit is that if I can't do this for myself, I'm going to do this for the people who I am in service toward.
I love that.
That's one that's come my whole yoga, Reiki, life, career. That's one that's always been with me.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So I know that you have these notes that you prepared about intuition. Is there something there that we didn't cover?
Yeah, there is some science around intuition. And one of these is called the brain-gut axis, and it has to do with our gut feelings, the intuitive feelings that so we sometimes actually feel as a gut reaction in the abdomen area. It's called the gut-brain axis. And this is a bi-directional communication between the brain and the gut and the lower abdomen area. Signals are sent back and forth through the vagus nerve. And these are physiological signals and sensations that may show up in, for example, heart rate changes, temperature changes, pain signals, discomfort signals. And studies have shown that the more in tune you are with these physiological shifts and changes and signals, the more you're better at making intuitive decisions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, decisions that have to be made in rapid fire decisioning making. So for example, people who work with, trades, right? Financial traders, they have to make quick, risky decisions all the time. That's their job. And often these tradespeople, they will speak of using their gut intuition to make the most profitable trades of the day. And then there's been studies shown that, you know, they are actually making the best profitable trades by their gut intuition. So there are people studying and tracking the intuitive mechanisms, the intuitive process. Again, HeartMath Institute has been studying this for a long time. There are other studies as well. There are studies that show that our brains hold patterns and that, you know, our intuition in a sense is working on past patterns that have been stored in our brain and just kind of cycling through those files to help us know if this decision moving forward is right for us. So a lot of it's patterning, right? What else? Those are just a few of the scientific studies that I've been looking into. You can look it up online. There's a ton of information on it. But yeah, just a few things worth mentioning that our gut feelings are, it's called interception, and that the more we are aware as humans of our interceptive signals in the body, whether it's the nervous system signals or neurochemicals moving through our body that are showing us physiological reactions to certain decisions or certain places and people, the better we're going to be at making intuitive decisions in general. So yeah, there is some science to back up what we're speaking of.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. Allison, thank you for this amazing conversation. I feel like I'm going to return to it many, many times, because every time we have a different decision to make or a transition in life, we come back to the same patterns, the same process that we need to do. And this has been very helpful for me personally.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's been helpful for me too as well. I'm a constant student as well as all the, of these subjects as well. And I also learned a lot from you today. So thank you so much.
Is there anything else that you think that you, that we should share, we should say? How can people stay connected with you and keep learning from you?
Yeah, sure. So you can find my information at www.allisoneaton.com, where I have various trainings and workshops to help us develop our intuition. Also with working with energy healing such as Reiki. And of course, at Yandara Yoga Institute, I teach the yin and restorative yoga modules, which lend hand in hand with this receptive energy we've been speaking of.
Yeah.
And they're great tools and great practices to help us to develop our intuition. And, or you can follow me on Instagram at Allison Claire Eaton. And yeah.
Is that your middle name?
That's my middle name.
Claire?
I know. The first time that was pointed out to me, I was like, ah. Signs, right? Looking for the signs. Sometimes they're right there.
Wow. You were born for this.
Jaima.
Incredible. So I'll just end this with the question that I always end with. What are you curious about right now, Allison?
I am curious about human consciousness, where we're at, where we're headed. I feel like there's a whole new human consciousness evolving on this planet, a very universal consciousness. I'm super excited to see where that's going to take us individually and as a whole. And even just, you know, the next few years to come, I feel like there's some big shifts happening on the planet and within all of us. So I'm super curious about that.
Well, if you haven't already, check out our previous conversations that we spoke about the dimensions of consciousness. Allison really goes deep into the different levels of consciousness. It's a very interesting, mind-expanding conversation. So definitely check that
out. Yeah, it was fun.
Allison, thank you so, so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, after this time to nurture your mind and your spirit, we invite you to take a moment to consider others. A kind wish might come to mind. Know that what we learn becomes more valuable when we apply it and share it with others. So share this episode on Instagram stories, tag Yandara and I, or share with a loved one so that more people can benefit from it. Our hope is that the search will lead you home to who you already are, to what was always there. We'll be back next week with more inspiration, honest conversation, and insight into the energetic world around us. Thank you for listening and watching.